Yeah. When we sing things that we don't mean, you know, we need to pray, don't we? You know, beauty of your majesty awakes my heart to sing. If it's not true, we need to pray right there, don't we? Anyway, there's the passage. And last week, if you were here, we saw the ridiculous scene where Jesus, having sat down with the 12 and his heart breaking, told them, one of you was going to betray me. And then we saw the ridiculous situation where, having gone from them discussing, I wonder who it could be, very quickly they end up discussing, well, I wonder which one of us is the best. Who's the greatest amongst us? And Jesus explains there that I am amongst you as one who serves. And he's going to serve by laying down his life for sinners like us. I am among you as one who serves. And now my text, I confer on you a kingdom, he says to the disciples. And then he explains that they will very soon feast at his banqueting table, reigning over the tribes of Israel, judging the tribes of Israel. And my title is, have you any idea what Jesus is offering? Because really, this is astonishing that he's telling them. This is remarkable. You, he says, and if you know anything about the disciples, they're a bunch of plonkers, really, just like us. How thick you are, Jesus says sometimes, how slow you are to understand, and yet he says to them, you're going to sit and reign with me. Have you any idea what Jesus is offering? Most of you have been here dozens of times, but have you any idea? You know, some of you know the story. There was a guy years ago I was trying to help. We'll call him Jack. Always in and out of trouble with the police, nearly always drug related. And then one day he got in touch with me because he'd been banged up in Swansea in the police station there because he'd been arrested for possession of drugs, obstructing a police officer in the course of his duty and resisting arrest. And he was on in court. Would I go with him? And I did go. And eventually in the courtroom, he sees very suddenly, the seriousness of the situation. He sees this in the middle of the courtroom, there are cells below and there's a stairs down. He suddenly sees it and he goes into absolute free fall. He's in panic. And the court sees, obviously, that he's in panic. And so, astonishingly, to me, unfairly, but there we are, astonishingly, they say, look, we'll forget the fact you've never paid your fines. We'll forget the 3 charges against you. And I tell you what, we'll drastically reduce how much you owe in the unpaid fines. Look now, son, you pay a fiver a week for the next year, and you are going to be a free man. I remember I was absolutely stunned. I thought, well, this is not justice. If I was the police, I'd be absolutely furious here. Anyway, we get outside the court, and I say to Jack, as we stand on the pavement, the bottom of the hill there, has it dawned on you what happened in there? Have you seen what they're offering you? Well, he hadn't, and sadly, he never did realize what a tremendous offer this was. You know, the disciples been arguing who's the greatest, and Jesus explains, this argument about who's the greatest here is pathetic compared to what I'm offering you up there. And that's all I want to do this morning, is to try and get you to think as Jesus kind of pulls the curtain back and says, you're arguing about who's the greatest. Do you really know? Have you any clue what I'm offering you in glory? And that's all I want to do, is to try and get you to think. You know, Jesus is telling him, this is petty compared to the glory that I'm offering you to share with me. It is literally beyond their wildest dreams. They'll reign with him. What will that mean? I don't know. I've no idea. It's not amazing, because amazing is not a big enough word to describe it. This is literally out of this world. It's another dimension. Let me ask you, you know, most of you would say you believe, whether you do or not is between you and God, but most of you would say you believe, but how wonderful, we just sang, how wonderful is it? Have you really grasped what he's offering us? I was watching a drama recently, and in the drama, the mother has died, and the kind of student aide's daughter, is invited to come to the bank because the bank manager says, your mother instructed us, if she was upon her death, to transfer her bank details to you. Is that okay? And the daughter says, yeah, okay. And then the daughter's asked, will you sign that? Yes, okay, I'll sign. And as soon as she signs, the bank manager shows her, well, this is the bank balance. She goes, yeah, okay. She looks, $5 million. In other words, when she walked into the bank manager's office, she had no idea what was an offer. Will you come in? Will you sign? Yeah, okay. Now she's absolutely flabbergasted. Have you any idea what Christ is offering? People come to church for many, many reasons. Some come because they find the world too loud, too crude, too rough, and they come to church. There are others like, let's say Miriam, she comes because her mother died a few years ago, and she misses her mother, and she thinks perhaps that Mom is in heaven. So if I come, then when I die, I'll go and see my mother again in heaven. I met people like that. And then here's Freddie. He's much older than Miriam, and he's hounded by one particular incident in his life, and he has nightmares about it. He lies in bed, and the guilt is absolutely killing him over this one incident. And he comes to church because he wants forgiveness, because it is just eating him alive. And they're just two people. This is why they've come. They want to get something from God. One wants to get a ticket so they can see their mother. The other one wants to get a forgiveness stamp on his life. Incidentally, I was reading the other day, there's a whole bunch in the last 10, 15 years, a whole bunch of celebrities and important scientists and so on, who are not just atheists, but they're anti-God. They're viciously anti-God. And one of them actually wrote this: we don't need God anymore. Science has replaced God. And I was just thinking, well, think of Freddie now. He wants to be forgiven. Science can't help him. How can science help him there? I want to be forgiven. Oh, here's the Newton's laws of motion. Read those. Well, science can't help him, can it? Anyway, people come to church for all sorts of reasons. But Jesus is raising the bar now. To see your mother in heaven is a wonderful thought. To be forgiven, tremendous. But Jesus is saying, the bar is way higher than that. I am telling you, he says, you will reign with me. This is what Jesus is offering in his gospel. Another dimension. Do you remember last year, the year before, there was a bit of an outcry about it. An Oxbridge student, a lady, stabbed a guy and got off in court because the judge didn't want to jeopardize her potentially academic career in the future. Do you remember there was an outcry? Well, the thing is, you and I have stabbed Jesus in the back every day of our lives. He's not just offering forgiveness, though he is. He's not just saying, well, off you go now and don't come back. He's not just saying, well, off you go, just get out of my sight. He says, come to me. Come and stay. Come and stay forever. I confer on you a kingdom. A kingdom. You confer on me a kingdom. In the film Rain Man. Hands up, have you ever seen Rain Man? You've got Raymond and Charlie. Raymond is the Dustin Hoffman character. Raymond inherits all the father's fortune except for the car that Charlie has. Charlie's furious. Why? Oh, he knows he's treated his father badly, but he thinks he deserves more than the car. What do you deserve? What does these disciples deserve? Wrath? That's all. God's wrath? What do we deserve? That's all, isn't it? Yet he says to them, you are those, what does it say on you? You are those who stood by me in my trials. They were absolutely useless, really. But there were times, obviously, when they were mocked for following Jesus. There were times there when they felt the stress or the pressure, and the Pharisees and Sadducees came and tried to ask hard questions. Jesus has noticed. You stood by me, he said. I confer on you a kingdom. You'll judge the 12 tribes of Israel. You think now, 12 tribes. 700 years before this, the 10 tribes were conquered by the Assyrians. We never saw them again. But Jesus knew where every one of them was. Where are they today? Jesus knows where they are. He knows those who are his. He says to the 11 who are his, I confer on you a kingdom. Are you his? Is he conferring on you a kingdom? I mean, they were pathetic at times, absolutely pathetic. And so are we. You know, we're still cowardly as they were. See, when somebody is converted, is saved, born again, Jesus saves them as they are. And then he begins to work from the inside out. As somebody said, there was a small, pugnacious guy. He was converted. I met him a few years later. Now he was a small, pugnacious Christian guy. Because it's hard work to change us. It's a miracle to change us from the inside out. And sometimes it seems to be, from our point of view, very slow. But the point is, from day one, Jesus is tirelessly working in every Christian to prepare us for this banquet when we will reign. What about you? Are you ready for this? Some of you are not Christians. You disappoint family and people you meet every day. Some of you are Christians. You probably disappoint family and friends even more. But for frail children of dust we sang, but for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, we're all as weak as tissue paper. Now we know, we have the advantage, we know the book of Acts, these 11, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on them, they're willing to face death. But not here. Soon here they'll run for cover. They'll leg it, won't they? They'll run. And yet, the point is, they belong to him, they're his. And he confers on them a kingdom. They didn't deserve it. They could never earn it. But the point is, this is the generous kind of Savior we have. I confer on you a kingdom. Not just a get out of hell free card. I confer on you a kingdom. Paul said in Galatians 2, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I confer on you a kingdom. And some of you think, perhaps, that sounds a little bit boring. Sounds a little bit dull. You must think that. I have to say that. It's obvious you think that. Otherwise, you would grab hold of Jesus now if you thought it was anything better than dull and boring and predictable. You think he's going to spoil your fun? This is what people think. Oh, let me have some fun first. What are you talking about? You've no idea what he's offering. Even though, as Romans 5 says, Jesus confers on us a kingdom, though we are his enemies. You know, in Acts, we've got Stephen, Christian Stephen, being stoned. There's a young fellow there called Saul. He doesn't actually pick up any bricks to chuck, but he holds the coats for everybody else. He sides with them. And here are you, here am I. We sided with Saul. We sided with those who stoned Stephen. That's what we did. We took our stance there. As Peter, when he preaches in Acts, says, you killed the author of life. He's pointing at us as well. See, you know you've done wrong, don't you? In thought, in word, and deed. You know you're nowhere near perfect. We all say that. What do you do about the fact that you're not perfect? You know, one of the local schools, once I had the opportunity to talk to a female member of staff on her own. The kids were over there, and you know, and people are different when they're on their own. And she was a nice lady. She was religious, probably moral. And I remember saying to her, do you think there's a God? Oh, yeah. Do you think there's a heaven? Yeah. Imagine you die today, and I'm on the gates of heaven, and you come to try and enter heaven. And I ask you, excuse me, Mrs. Whatever, why should I let you in? What are you going to say? Well, I'll say I've been pretty good. what do you think of my chances? She said. I said, you go, no chance. She was horrified. What do you mean? But I've been good. Yeah, but not good enough. Nowhere near good enough. Remember John Bunyan? You know, he met these Christians and he thought, wow, maybe there's something in this. We prayed every night, oh Lord, I'm sorry for the sins today. I'll try harder tomorrow. I'll try and be better tomorrow. And then one day, he prayed this prayer. Lord, I can't be any better. Save me. Have you come that far? In the funeral, Sarah's mum, they played at the end the Elvis song, you know? And there's one line in it, all my trials will soon be over. For me, that's true. Is it true for you? I was trying to enthuse my granddaughter this week with miracles that I have seen God do. But, you know, one day, not only will all my trials be over, but I will sit with him and reign with him. And as I look around the table there, the banqueting, will I see you? Will you be there? Take him. Take him. And then you'll find out what he's offering. Amen. Let's sing. Oh, my soul, arise and bless your Maker. For he is your master and your friend. Lord, please open our eyes. Give us some vision, Lord, some clue. Some of us are just messing about, Lord. We seem to have no concept of what you're offering us. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us, please. For Jesus' sake. Amen.